Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.
How did it all start? Were you a station announcer prior to any work with Sheriff John Show?
Yes, I started with KTTV in 1949 on January 1st as a staff announcer, and was working here, 49 until 1952 when I started the Sheriff John program.
So did you go to a disc jockey school? Did you want to start as an announcer?
No. I had planned probably to go into comedy and MC work and or studied voice to sing, and majored in speech and dramatics and radio broadcasting at Michigan State College in East Lansing, Michigan.
And so you came out here to California, and did you start with Metro Media right away?
Or? No, that was way back before. Graduated from Michigan State in 1941 and went to work as a staff announcer in radio broadcasting in Toledo, Ohio. And then went into the service during the war years for almost 4 years. And then back to my job in Toledo, and then came out here to California in 1947 to be married, and back in 48 and to the job here at KTTV in 49, in the winter of 48.
And so how did they need someone for a children's show at that time?
In 1952, yes, they were starting. They had some cartoons on hand, and they wanted to do a children's show, and they started one, and they had a host for it, and he didn't work out too well, and they asked me on a Friday to come up with some way to make a transition and take over the program the following Monday evening. So from Friday, I went to lunch with a man here, and I had been an honorary sheriff under Sheriff Eugene Biscalus, and that was the hook that we put it together with Sheriff John, and I bought a khaki uniform on Saturday morning at an Army Navy surplus store, and black tie, and pinned on the badge, which I had, as I said, from being an honorary member of Sheriff Biscalus' department, and sat down Monday at 5:30 with a program called Cartoon Time.
And so do you remember what kind of cartoons you were showing at that time? Was it a package from...
They were cartoons way back in the early days, some early Warner Brothers and Crazy Cat and Dave Fleischman, I believe?
Fleischer,
out of the Inkwell.
Yeah.
Some of the real early cartoons we had, they had a package, and they had a few others. So we started with that what we had then, and started out the program.
So you didn't look at any of these programs. You didn't make the choices for the cartoons. You just
supply of cartoons, and I was to be the host and introduce them, and.
So what was your first show like? How did it start? Now you were working behind a mic prior to this, so this was really your first time in front of the camera?
No. From 1949 to 1952, which was 3 years, I was here. I did other television programs as they came along prior to doing the children's program.
You hosted movies and that kind of
thing? Yeah, I was
Ben Hunter.
A commercial announcer on a ladies' matinee program with Jack Rourke. I was the commercial announcer on a sports program with Tom Harmon. I was the announcer on the Leo Carrillo show and did comedy. And then for 2 years I was doing comedy and announcing the Dude Martin show on Wednesday night for Sears, which was an hour variety show. So I had been before camera and doing whatever jobs came along in that period of time, because new programming was coming on all the time. We had wrestling and cooking shows and in and out and interview shows and panel shows. And what you would be assigned as a staff announcer to do something or be in it or do comedy or whatever. So I was used to being on camera, and when they wanted to make the transition in this other program, why they called me in and asked me if I'd ever done a children's program, and I had done a narration of a program back in Ohio, because I had some TV experience back there before I came out here, and I had written that a little show called Drawing for Fun, and did the narration on that. And that was the only thing, however, I hadn't been on camera. And so we sat down and we had to have a set, and we put up a backboard and made it look like a sheriff's office. And I put a little, remember there was a little kind of a squawk box on the desk we used as a thing to say to the, we created a character called the Movie Marshal. I'll roll the cartoon Movie Marshal, we'll take a look at it. And, you know, it was all sort of touch and go, feel your way and figure out what to do. And had a few reward posters up behind me and sort of started out the idea we're going to have fun and watch cartoons together. And so for half an hour we managed to get through the first programs and got started, and then things started to evolve from that.
Now, wasn't that right over there downstairs down a ramp and like the first or second door to your left?
Yes, there was.
And you walked in a small room.
Yeah.
And it was a small room and it had chicken wire all over the ceiling.
Right. That was Studio F.
And you shared space with
Bill Layden and Rama the Jungle and
which was a host of
John Hall series of films. And then also there was an interview show on about that time too.
Joe and Betty Carbo had the all-night movie.
Yeah, they were doing an all-night movie.
And you had the Kinderland Hour 1 year. You had a program for 1 year. They had nursery school around six or seven in the morning, nursery school group. But you weren't there then. But they had a group with easels they set up, and it was like a kind of a round-per-room kind of format for a year or two.
Yeah, well, there was another program too. A Little Schoolhouse was on.
In that same room?
No. We used a different studio.
Because that's
what I don't remember this Kinderland. But there must have been something on early in the morning that I didn't see.
Yeah, Joe and Betty Carbo are friends of my mother, and she had a nursery school at that time, so they had a program for a year or two. I don't know really how long it spread, but it was Monday through Friday, and it was six or seven in the morning for a while. But I remember coming down there then. And
It was just Studio F, and it was in the basement.
It had a kitchen in there.
A big sliding door you went through, a great big huge door that slid open. It was with
curtains there.
Yeah.
And it was just a really small, really, really small area.
Very low ceiling room. We couldn't light too well because it was it was a basement part of this original, which was Nassar Studios, a movie studio one. And that was probably, we were probably in what was a storage room previously for film or something.
So did you always do the show there? Or did you moved up?
Yeah, I did. No, I did the show there for most of the time, and occasionally up on the street level here. No, I stayed in that studio for about the 18 years, except for...
That's a long time.
Special, yeah. That little studio probably made more money for KTTV than all of the big stages up above where they would try all the big specials. That studio was where all the money was made.
It just looked like such a fire hazard. It just had that feeling, you know. It was such a small room with no windows and a low ceiling, as you say.
Yeah.
So you started this program, and was it like a temporary experimental kind of project when it started off?
Well, all the shows in those days were. I mean, if you got a show on television, it wasn't very hard to do if you had any idea, because they were looking for programming, and shows would go on with some buddy would bring one in, or they would think one up here, and they would go on, and if they lasted 2, 3, 4 weeks or something, whatever, that was a big run. And then they would, something else would happen, they'd move programming. And we were only on the air at those times. When we first started on the air, we were only on from 6 to 9 in the evening, when we first started, prior to my children's program. And then we opened up time to, 4 o'clock, and then noon to 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And it depended, because you had to have enough programming to fill the hours that you were on the air. So it was, all the stations were starting to do programming, and they started with 3, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 and 7, and stayed on all day, and then started going into night. So they were all experimental in those days, and put a program on and see if the people liked it. And they came, programs came and went as fast as could be.
Now, how fast did the show develop? I mean, what did you do, like a super crash course of what your format would be, or did it just kind of one thing develop after the next?
Well, one thing would develop after another. We decided to have people write in for a little identification card, so we printed some of those up, membership card, Sheriff John's cartoon, or I guess we were calling it the Fun Brigade, and that became a part of Cartoon Time, the Fun Brigade. And from that, we sent out little membership cards, and then we had people request birthdays, and we weren't on at noon yet. We were doing the evening. And then I remember about that time we had a show from 5:30 to 6, and then they wanted me to come back to fill 6:15 to 6:30. So I'd come back and do a quarter hour, because, as I say, they were trying to, what do we do with programming, And something probably had canceled at 6:15, so I came back and did another quarter hour, and like a little hobby show or something. And then
you're into your,
excuse me, okay, hold it right now, you might as well put a stop on it. Join the fun when Uncle Bill, Mr. French, Jody, Buffy, and Sissy find that growing up is always a family affair tonight at 5:30. And right after Family Affair, join the warm-hearted Brady Bunch with Florence Henderson, Robert Reed, and the rest of the gang tonight at 6. Here are the latest news headlines to 9 a.m. Federal Judge William Webster takes control of the FBI today. The 53-year-old Webster gives up his post as an appeals court judge in St. Louis to become the 6th director of the FBI. A hostage held by a bank robbery suspect in Indiana for 30 hours turned the cards around last night, grabbing the gunman's weapon and holding it on him until police made the arrest. Labor Secretary Ray Marshall is visiting the White House today to discuss the next step in the coal strike with President Carter. President Carter has invited a large group of civil rights leaders to the White House this afternoon. Carter will unveil a plan for consolidating agencies that enforce equal job opportunities. The government is expected to announce this morning a national immunization program against the Russian flu. The weather is sunny today and Friday, except some fog or low clouds near the beaches late tonight, clearing by mid-morning. A little cooler Friday, highs today near 80, Friday in the mid to upper 70s, low tonight in the low 50s. James Earl Ray, Robert Vesco, and Terry Moore on The Truth with Jack Anderson, Friday at 8:30. Okay, we're clear for 7 more minutes.
This is kind of a computer. Does it?
Yeah, this is all automated. So it's automatic when the A1 comes up there at the top line. Whatever's the top line is what's up. And this is the program, I Love Lucy. And then we'll go to a videotape for a minute 30, and then another videotape for 25, and I'll tag it. Put a tag, commercial tag on one, and then I'll read a public service announcement for 10 seconds. These are the times on the left, and the A1 there is where I talk. And it just moves up to the top. It goes automation.
Do you ever have a chance to read a book between all this, or what do you do with your time between spots?
Well, it
keeps you busy.
Keep the log here, and if anything goes wrong, you know, whatever.
You have to really stay aware.
Yeah, right.
In case a tape blows or...
Yeah, tape blows or the film breaks or whatever. And then they go to a panic slide or a slide hold, move on to the next, and then that has to be entered here. And if we lose a commercial, try to make it up and keep on schedule.
The birthday song, when did that start?
Well, that started when later on we went from the cartoon time format, and then we added that became popular and was sold out commercially, and then they opened up a half hour at noon lunch brigade, and in that segment that we had been getting requests for birthdays, so we got a birthday cake made up of plaster Paris decorated and made up and put on a Lazy Susan and spin around. And about 50, I was using a theme song called When You're Smiling to start with. And then after the show,
Emmy
in 1953 for the best children's show. And then I was approached by a recording company to make some recordings. And I got together with a fellow who was very clever at writing children's songs. We recorded, I forget now, in the first session about six tunes, or four or five records anyway, maybe eight sides. And then we did a tune called Laugh and Be Happy, and then we started using that as the theme song. Then birthdays came along, and also I had recorded a tune called Put Another Candle on My Birthday Cake. And then we started using that, and we started asking for birthdays, names, and we had the list then. And that expanded. Then the show at noon became an hour program instead of a half an hour. And then we stayed on with two shows a day for a period of time there for a couple of years. And then about that time, while the Disney, that was, well, I guess for maybe longer, 6 or 7 years, and sometime in the 60s, the Disney Mouseketeers program was going to come on. And they had called me and asked me to come out there to pick my brains a little bit about children's programming. And I talked to them and came back and said, you better get that cartoon time out of the way because they're going to go on at 4 or 4:30 or 5 around there. And they're going to snowball everything because they've got camera, film, money, and all of Disney's things behind them. So I said, we better get out of the way. So then we went from that, dropped the evening show, went to a morning and a noon show. And for a couple of years, I had a morning program. And then over a period of another 5 or 6, 7 years, then we dropped the morning show. And then I stayed on for the remainder of the time with the lunch brigade, which was always sort of the hub of everything. I either had an evening or noon and a morning, and then ended up with the noon show.
So they bounced you around depending on what you were up against, really.
Well, yeah, just in that case, they didn't bounce around, and there was a little shifting, but not like it is today. But as programs became, like when the 5:30 was sold out, they opened up a new program for more commercial buyers. And then when we took the 5:30 off, then they expanded the noon program and more commercial that sold out there. Well, even in the evening for a while, I had spot advertisers. Then I had sponsors. Howdy Doody was out here, and the sponsors of that were Kellogg's, and Kellogg's watched me and then bought quarter-hour programming. Mars Candy commercials bought quarter-hour programming.
And I remember Maggio Carrots.
And, yeah, they came in right in about the first or second year, and he stayed with me all the way through. But then they had quarter-hour program buys, Red Goose Shoes. So I had really, in the evening then, for a while, I had expanded the show. Oh, it had expanded, and I was doing more or less sponsored quarter hours with Mars, Kellogg's took a strip right across, and 5 days a week, and Mars took a quarter hour, and Red Goose Shoes took a couple of quarter hours a week, and then as that sold out, then we opened a noontime programming, as I said. Then that became popular. Then we moved, dropped the evening, and went to noon and morning, and had either spots or program buys within the two shows.
Do you have any copies of these words to the songs still that I could get from you?
Oh, yeah.
I think I'd like to put that in the book.
Yeah, I have... I don't have the words typed out per se, but I do have like a couple of records that have the words on them. You can get somebody to transcribe the words off the lyrics.
Yeah, I could just make a recording of the record. Would be the best for me.
Yeah, fine. Well, I don't have them with me, but I can just give you the words to the songs and put them on tape or whatever simple. I remember the lyrics too, at least Birthday and Laugh and Be Happy.
Had you had any singing experience prior to that, or was this something that just began?
Yeah, as I said, I studied voice when I was in college, and I was thinking I was going to go into either comedy or musical comedy, mm-hmm. or light opera or whatever, and I had studied. And so I, when it came to the recording thing, why that fell in very well in place.
Did you ever have children on that program?
we only tried that. Hold it, just a minute.
All right.
In Los Angeles, call 520-8000. 1,000-mile campus programs of the California State University and College help adults get better jobs. Write 1,000-mile campus, 400 Golden Shore, Long Beach, 90802.
Okay. I asked you, did you have any children on your program?
For a period of one season... the station wanted to try to have some children in, and I had over the years resisted it because my feeling was that television was designed for the home, for entertainment.
Who wants to watch children watch children?
And yeah, and that's what it turned out to be. I finally acquiesced and said, all right, fine, because they had... Somebody, every time we had a new program director, which were many, let's change something. And I said, okay, if you'll get a girl that will handle tickets and writing the letters and scheduling the children in, we'll have four in a day, and there'll be contestants, and we'll have little games and things. So we did, and what it proved was that the ratings didn't vary, didn't change anything, except... I think you divided your allegiance, because as I'd open the program, I'd sing Laugh and Be Happy. Hi, nice to have you with us. We're going to see cartoons and do so-and-so today. And we had guests all over the period of time. We started building up with guests and people that would come in and on the show, firemen, policemen. Then we started doing a series of remote programs in the mornings and went to different locations. But with the minute you had children on the program, I would say, I'm glad to have you with me. And now I want you to meet... In effect, these four children who are going to win prizes and play games, and you're going to watch them, and you immediately split your allegiance, because you say, hi, I'm glad to have you with me today. Now, what is your name? And you turn your back, really, almost on the audience. What is your name? And talk to them, and they would do a stunt, and they'd do a game, and they'd win a prize, and the other ones would sit home. And they tried it, and as I said, nothing happened. So finally... they gave up, and I said thank you and went back to the original format we had.
So you really were a personality to a lot of children. At least you were to me.
Yeah, well, over the years, and I was the one talking to you and to them, and I didn't preach, and I didn't.
You were really
talk down.
Really real. You were really real to them.
And we got a lot of good things across. I had help from the police department, the sheriff's department. When there'd be a rash of children climbing into refrigerators and freezers and dying, suffocating, or matches or burns or whatever, they would notify me and I'd say, fine. And we'd make an announcement to that effect and, you know, talk to them and say, it's no fun to play with matches, you can get burned. And I visited burn wards and everything. I didn't go into the gruesome details, but, you know, there are a lot of other things to play with. You know, you don't need matches. Or play in safe places, and the advice, a lot of it would come from parents. Be sure and eat your food, and we had a checklist then of wake with a smile, straighten your bed, tidy up your room, comb and brush your hair, brush your teeth, health habits. We'd go through those things, and it was all a matter of routine, and it was things that were doing some good, you know, evidently, the children like me and accepted it and, you know, had a lot of examples of things that worked out where a little boy or girl knew what to do, you know, and it talked about the policeman as your friend and the fireman you know, don't turn in fire alarms, you know, and cause this problem. We would talk to, we'd have these guests on a couple a week and tried to emphasize things of the positive and good, and that's the way we did it.
So now, today you can work with tape. If you make a mistake, you can change it.
Right.
But in that period, you were working with live television.
It was all live.
And
all about, yeah.
Were there any experiences with these children or with guests that you had that were... did you ever have a set fall over in the middle of your show?
Or? Yeah, the doorway I walked through singing Laugh and Be Happy one day, and just exactly that happened. We had just a little piece of door flat, and I would open the door, and it's only about, a section of flat is only about 4.5, 5 feet maybe wide with a doorway in it. And as I walked in this one day, it was because of that little studio where we worked that you know about, it was so crowded. It had to be put up and taken down each day, and it was slotted into the wall with a couple of little pins, a nail, you know, through a hole, and you'd slot it in, put it in the slot, and that was the flat, and it was angled a little bit, and I'd open the door and come through it, and it was just canvas flat, and it'd been used probably so much, taken down and put up and put back and taken down each day because there would be other shows in that same studio.
You did 18 years, so...
And that doorway, always, you know, they start wearing out. And I started through the doorway and closed the door, and I could hear this. My mic was dead because I was lip-syncing to the record. But in my ear, I could hear this terrible sound like ripping of pants, of material, and it was the wood splintering where this flat was pulling away from the wall. And it was, you know, sound. And the light behind me, there was a back key light over that doorway. And the light started to get dark. And so as I walked in, came through the door, heard this sound, and realized that there was a shadow coming, you know, on the back of my head. And something that was leaning on me. I turn around and here's the flat, you know, it's followed me right into the set line. So it's now over the back of my head. So I turned around singing, laugh and be happy and the world will laugh with you. And I held it up until one of the prop guys grabbed the door.
From the inside?
He grabbed it from the other side off camera. Camera pushed in close on my face so that they could get a hold of the flat or otherwise they're going to follow me right down my back, you know, follow down and go flat on the floor. And I just held it and kept singing because, you know, I got to keep singing the song. And don't stop while you're slip syncing. So when I finished, the crew in here was hysterical. All the camera crew and the director and the film crew were all always things when things went wrong, and they were waiting. And so as I finished the song, as the production guy got a hold of the flat, and I got over by the center of the set, and all the live long day, boom, boom. And they were waiting. What's he going to say? You know, because this flat has been obvious on the picture. And I said, they just don't build sheriff's jails like they used to, you know. And then went right on into the show because I figured that anybody that didn't see it or the children that didn't catch it or whatever, but the parents that were watching would, you know, get the idea. And I had to say something. So I said, they just don't build sheriff jails. And again, I had a sponsor with multiple vitamin tablets, one a day from Miles Laboratories.
I remember.
And I had a glass of water, and the part of the commercial was to take one smooth-coated, easy-to-swallow tablet. And I took one and popped it in my mouth and took a sip of water and got it down the wrong throat and proceeded to just about cough myself to death on the camera, you know, because I just got the water down the wrong throat. And I just said it's smooth-coated, easy-to-swallow. Then the other one was with Mars, the candy bar that got frozen. They had a Milky Way. And hold it just a minute. Announcement. Good morning. We had a candy bar, and they suggested that to show the inside of a Milky Way, it's made of caramel on the top and a chocolate nougat, and the milk chocolate on the chocolate on the outside. So under the lights, if you do a commercial, they wanted us to score the paper and cut it, and then pull the so that the paper came off quickly. And then kind of pre-score the candy bar and then break it open to show the inside on a close-up of camera with your hands, you know, held in the hands. And they said, suggest you put it in the refrigerator and chill it. Because then if you can, then you've been in this business, you can anticipate.
I can see chill what's it. Coming up.
And and they said that way also the chocolate won't get all over your fingers, like look chocolatey and smear. So that we were doing that fine, and we'd have different production people, different floor people in production. And I got on camera and pulled the paper off, and it was scored, and I started in. They came in on a close-up, and I tried to break it, and my fingers and nails and everything started turning white, you know. And I'm standing there straining and trying and saying, look for the delicious chocolate. And the bar was frozen. The kid had put it in the freezer. And it had set it in the freezer, and it was in there for like 25, 30 minutes before airtime. And I had a frozen Milky Way candy bar, and you try to break one of those, and it finally broke. It broke, and it went bang right on the mic, you know, and on camera. And it was hysterical. And they're funny, too, because the same agency representative, a fellow named Royal Alcott, I still remember his name, was the representative for both the candy for Mars, it came from Leo Burnett, and the other was, no, I take that back. Oh, I guess maybe he was. Anyways, I think he was the same agency for both of those spots, that and the one a day, and he was in the studio at the time watching the commercial, and instead of being upset, he was just, you know, he was rolling on the floor. You know, he laughed when I choked to death, and he laughed when the candy bar wouldn't break, and because these were things that happened in live television. And, you know, like today, you'd have it as an outtake, and that'd be funny. But on the air, those things happened, and everybody at home was hysterical, too. You know, you had to chuckle about it and laugh, and I'd usually make some comment. And you had to acknowledge this happened and get on to the next thing. I'll be with you in just one second. This is one of the fast ones. This is 3 seconds. Call 520-8000. Okay. We're all clear. Anyways, those were some of the weird ones. And then we did remotes and went to different locations. And you'd have problems like your camera, you know, no picture or mics going dead and things like that, which happened all the time. But for the most part, we had, for a period of two years, we did a different remote location. We did the opening of Marineland. We did the observatory, the police academy, the fire, went to a fire station, climbed all the way through it, slid down the pole, did all the things, saw bread being made, cookies being made, pretzel factory, toys, Mattel, Revell, all of them as they were new. And we took an hour and went in with one camera, live, with cable, with cordless, cord microphone, and covered an assembly plant at General Motors, saw a car being made, bicycles manufactured, went to places. Because a lot of our young people at that time were in hospitals and or shut-ins, and they could never get out. And we took them places with this camera in the early days, live television. Santa's Village, we were the first ones. We did a triple hop out of Santa's Village. Today you take a truck and go up there with a tape unit and shoot it,
mm-hmm.
and put it on tape and bring it back. We went up, and they had to have a triple location to get from Mount Wilson a picture out of Santa's Village up in the Arrowhead to two other locations, to Mount Wilson, to the studios. And what in those days it was the first ever show to come out of Arrowhead.
So there was all kinds of technical problems could arise.
And these crew and these people we had here, you could say, do you think we can do it? And they said, well, let's go and give it a try. You know, and this was early television, and it was fun, and it was challenging, and it was really beautiful. Today, as I said, you could do that, and it would look smooth and easy with a tape machine, a handheld mini cam on your back, and, you know. But those were days where they shoved big cameras and big equipment and big remote trucks, and we went to places that were magnificent, did great shows.
You mentioned, you know, you had sheriffs and firemen.
Yeah.
Guest with you on the program.
Yeah.
Did you ever have any celebrities or?
Yes, I had a show for a while in the morning program. For a while, we had a thought. It was fun. So much, Paul.
Well, thank you very much.
Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.